standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. Well, I'm standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. I can't stand around all day, you know I gotta run.
When you look at all the wonderful places to visit New Zealand, one that is too often overlooked is Dunedin. There's Larnach Castle, the Otago Peninsula, and the Dunedin Railway Station, known for its distinctive gingerbread house appearance. It's also said to be the most photographed building in New Zealand. Best of all, however, is that it's home to Dunedin Railways, which runs the world-famous Tyree Gorge excursion. No one will be surprised to hear a rail fan say that this excursion is an absolute must for New Zealand visitors. But for anyone who wants to explore the beauty of New Zealand, and let's be honest, there's no shortage of beauty in New Zealand, traveling by train is an absolute must. I recently had the opportunity to interview a driver with the Dunedin Railways who talked about his experience, the railway's reemergence after COVID, and what it's like to work on the tracks and enjoy the views from the cab. My conversation with Bradley was so interesting that I didn't want to shortchange it, so I've decided to break it up into multiple episodes. I hope you enjoy the conversation, and more importantly, that you will consider a trip to Dunedin and the opportunity to ride on a Dunedin Railways excursion.
That's actually one thing I've noticed over the years, and I'm by no means an expert on New Zealand, the landscape of railroads or railroad history, but it seems to have a really great preservation community and a very robust rail fan community.
Oh, for sure, for sure. That's pretty big here. Like, there's a lot of preservation railways in New Zealand. And a lot of people that either, I don't know, follow them or work on them and volunteer. Like, that's how I started, was volunteering on a railway that I had no clue about anything before then.
And how long have you been with the railway?
So Tyree Gorge, I sort of went on and off. There was a manager at the time when I was at this volunteer railway, a little railway called Ocean Beach Railway. Met him and I got to do work experience here. And then when I turned, got into year 13 of high school, I don't know what that would be where you were from, final year of high school anyway. I did a gateway program, which once a week you go and work somewhere. And I chose Dunedin Railways and they let me do that. And then when I turned 18, I kind of just got offered a job and worked there for a couple of years. And obviously COVID sort of put a hold on that. But then I come back.
Yeah, you might have been on the train. I was there in November of 2019. So you might have been working on the train.
Oh, I would have been there somewhere.
Absolutely. So what do you do now for Tyree Gorge?
So I kind of do a couple of different things. So my main job is I'm a loco engineer, so I drive the train. I'm also a qualified guard, occasionally have done the commentary, and then in the winter when things are a bit more quiet, I go up as a track maintainer.
I've got to think, and I'm thinking out loud here, I've got to think you probably have the best office of anyone, because Tyree Gorge, for anyone who hasn't...
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, anyone who hasn't taken it, that is... to me, at least one of the most, if not the most beautiful landscapes that you could possibly see. And that's saying a lot to me in New Zealand, and you're more of an expert on this than I am, but everywhere that I seem to have looked in New Zealand is gorgeous. And Tyree Gorge to me is absolutely stunning. There, every turn that you take on that train, it seems like it just reveals another vista that is just beautiful and almost hard to comprehend.
Oh, for sure. And it does. And I think it's a mixture of such good New Zealand scenery, the Tyree Gorge. Like, it's you've got the schist rock, which is very central Otago, and the I don't know, some people disagree with me here, but the gorse and the broom, that really yellow flower, it's really prickly. I really like it. I think it makes the gorge look really nice. It's definitely just gone rogue sort of around different parts of New Zealand, but I think it makes it look really nice. And all the rocks and the sort of all the gorge scenery, because it changes, I don't know if you remember, but halfway up when you get past a place called Hindon, where they had the statue of the dog, after that it changes completely compared to what you've been used to again. So it's ever changing, and it's always interesting.
I was sure to make sure I got a picture of the statue.
Oh, for sure. Sue, the border collie. Yeah, she doesn't do too much running around anymore.
No, I'd imagine not. I think we stopped on the way back, as I recall. We made a Stops, I want to say, on the way back. I think we were a little ahead of schedule when I took it. And so we were taking some stops at a few extra places on the way back.
Yeah. When did you go on the train?
November of 2019.
Oh, right. Okay. Yep.
And it was, of course, anybody who remembers 2019 into 2020, I mean, who could forget it at this point in time? We were probably about, 8 or 12 weeks away from the pandemic and had no idea at the time what what the world was about to turn into.
No,
and it was, yeah, such a lovely journey. It was almost a shame that was the that was sort of the leading into the pandemic.
Oh, for sure. There was definitely an impending doom feeling around that time, for sure.
So I guess it's actually funny. You mentioned the gorse, too. I thought that was interesting because when I did not realize when we saw the gorse, looking out from the course, I stood in the open air car or maybe in, between cars, just I love to take pictures. Like, I can't help but take pictures. And, of course, we're going around every curve. I'm taking pictures. And I thought every time I would take this incredible picture, I thought, wow, that's the best picture I'm ever going to take. It's never going to get more beautiful than this. And, of course, then we go around the corner and, you're looking down at the river. And I'm looking at the gorse and thinking, this is gorgeous. And I think it was probably after that I realized how rogue, to borrow your term, it's gone, and how it really is not even I didn't know it was a native plant at the time, but learned after the fact that it's sort of an invasive species. So it is, but it is such an iconic piece of the landscape there.
Oh, it is for sure. I don't know how it was introduced off the top of my head. I don't also know why it was introduced, but it is there, and it we obviously have to control it on the rail corridor. We've got a digger with a mulcher and that kind of thing, and it'll take care of a lot of it because it does scrape the train quite a bit. It's quite solid stuff.
It's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought of all the bombs. I never would have thought gorse would have been one of the hindrances you have to fight against.
Oh, yeah. There's a few up there because obviously if you'll remember when the train's going through some of the cuttings and that kind of thing, there's very little clearance. So it doesn't take much for things to grow and cause some scrapes and stuff. So our track gang does a great job at keeping it all clear. And I think that's the other thing that's amazing about the gorge and working up there is when you're on the track gang, you stop in places that the train doesn't. And so you see a lot of these things at length, which is always quite rewarding.
Maybe I can do a volunteer gig and I can come up and work on the track gang for a day the next time I'm there, because I'm thinking I'm just going to take pictures the whole time probably, so I would be a terrible track worker. But I'm thinking
You might still be better than me. They always want help. They always want help up there.
And so you've worked on it. So it's been about 5-6 years. You said 2018. Did I catch that date right?
Yeah,
started?
It was 2018 to September 2018 to April 2020. And then there was a bit of a hiatus there, and then I come back in 2021 and worked on the train. It was only running sort of a small amount at that point. So I just kind of worked on there as well as doing another job, and then come up the track gang and sort of split my time between the track and the train, and did that for a wee while. And then the driving gig eventually come up, so I went away to school and did my hours, and here we are.
And that's, as I recall, too, as you're in and around, pulling, into and out of Dunedin, that's, you're on the main line there as well. So it's a little different than a lot of heritage railroads here. There's going to certainly be exceptions to this, but most of our heritage railroads, I would say, have, separate right-of-ways, and they don't necessarily share it with the main line. But in and out of Dunedin, you're on an active main freight line.
Yeah, for sure. So it's, we run on sort of Kiwi Rail's main south line. Our Seasider trip that we run as well is also on Kiwi Rail line. So learning to be a driver for Tyree Gorge, you have to go to Kiwi Rail school. So we have to have the same qualification as their drivers to operate on their network, of course, as well as also having our own line with its rules and that kind of thing. So I went to school for a month, but because it was around sort of COVID-y times, it was some of it was in person and then the rest of it was online through what we're doing right now, actually, sort of Zoom calls, and you'd have your workbooks and that. So it was the first section was 2 weeks, then a week, and then another week, and exams, and they were 3-hour exams just for different operating things. Like there's the signals, there's track warrant systems, and as well as just your rules. And then it's on the job training for 500 hours.
Well, that's a significant amount of time, but I that's got to be important though to make sure, because I would imagine the Tyree Gorge section is a little nuanced versus the main line. I guess they probably both have their own unique nuances to it, but I mean the Tyree Gorge one, it's a historic section of track. It's not a straightaway by any stretch. I would imagine you have to be careful as you're moving along the line to make sure you're not going too fast in certain sections, and then plus, you also have, as I recall, is at least one, maybe even two bridges that are rail and road bridges as well, where the road and the rail are in the exact same location.
Yeah, so coming into Hindon, you come out of a tunnel around a left-hand curve and onto a road and rail bridge where obviously cars and the train share. So luckily, Hindon's not a state highway by any means, so it's usually fine. It's mainly just farmers or stock trucks. Driving, I think a big part of driving, I think anyone can kind of get in a train and move it with a bit of tuition, but route knowledge is a big part of, I think, what makes a good driver. Like, you have to know that track so well, and that's part of what the hours are for, as well as the fact that we obviously carry passengers. That's quite a huge responsibility. So you've got to have, I guess, a different sort of train handling to what they would on a freight train. Freight doesn't complain as much, I suppose, as a passenger would if they fell over. So we have to be a bit more gentle. And a lot of that is knowing the track, dips in the track, or obviously the gorge is, our speed limit's 40 kilometers an hour, which is good because it's a scenic trip. You're not really wanting to barrel along at 100 kilometers an hour and people are like, oh, we'll take a photo of that, and then it's gone. So, we kind of just meander around at 40 kilometers an hour, which I think is a perfect speed. But it's also, we're limited anyway because the curves are quite tight in places. And so they're limited to 45 or 40 kilometers an hour or 25 in places.
I'm not sure I could would want to be on a train going 100 kilometers an hour through some of those curves. That would be more of a roller coaster, I guess, than a scenic train ride.
Yeah, I'd be seeing how far I could jump at that point clear. I think that would freak me out. the speed we travel is perfect, I think.
Absolutely. So when we talk about that route, are there certain parts when you're driving the train that stand out as just your favorites or just almost remarkable, like you can't believe?
100%. There's a place called Flat Stream. That would be my favorite place on the gorge. Flat Stream and the Notches. So you come around the cutting and onto the Flat Stream viaduct, which is one of the most impressive pieces of engineering I've ever seen. And it's surrounded by, if it's been heavy rain, there's almost a waterfall feature. There's and then you get the view out to the right hand side of the Notches, and the Notches is just a series of four bridges. But it took the guys building the line 2 years just to do that really, really small stretch, which would only be just under half a kilometer, maybe 400 meters or so. And these bridges, and they're cutting through the rock, and it is amazing engineering for the time in the 1800s when they did it with, blasting powder and picks and shovels. It's crazy. It's crazy to think they actually did. And I'm not surprised it took a couple of years, because it's just a cutting with these bridges through. But the scenery is just amazing. You get to see all the hillside down to the river. That's definitely one of the best moments. And we go 10 to 15K over it the whole time, just due to the bridges and the curves and the tunnel and that. But it's perfect.
I think you mentioned the engineering piece of it, and it absolutely is an engineering marvel every section of the line. I think it would be an engineering marvel if they built it today. If it had, if it didn't exist and they were building that line today, I think you'd be stunned at being able to complete something like that. But you're absolutely right. Considering the era that they built that line in, it is really it just shows the ingenuity that the engineers and the workers had to pull that together.
Oh, for sure. And I think another one probably would be one of the highlights for you was the Whingatui Viaduct. So that's 197 meters long and 47 meters high, wrought iron. as well. That's amazing as well to go over. I've had the privilege of working on it a couple of times. I'm not that big on heights, but I made an exception so for this one. And man, it's crazy, that Whangatui Viaduct. Like, if you don't know what it looks like, you should Google it, because it is amazing that they did it in the time.
I'm gonna ask, because you mentioned about the heights. What is that like to riding over it? Is you know, one thing, and maybe hairy enough as it is, but I can't imagine being, you know, walking over it. Is that must be surreal. I mean, it's a great view, no doubt, but I can't imagine what that's like.
Oh, it is weird. To be honest, I was actually up there one day, and the winds were quite heavy, so we didn't do it, obviously, because it is quite high up. But walking across it, it's got a nice walkway, and it's all been redecked and stuff, so it's safe as houses walking over it. But yeah, you look over the handrail sometimes and go, "Ooh, it's." I actually find it way easier to look down on the train, to be honest.
It, there's something about being in a car. It seems safer when you're, you know, in the comfort of a rail car, to, than I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's a pretty cool opportunity. Like, I believe it's New Zealand's largest wrought iron structure. You know, and it was opened in 1887, and it'll still be there after I'm gone. A bit of maintenance and that kind of thing routinely. It's as solid as.
It really is remarkable what the technology that went into it and the design that went to it. Really is a testament to an ingenuity and the era and the desire to build as well. And the line itself, does it run to fully to Middlemarch? Is that the terminus of the Tyree Gorge?
Yes. So it used to obviously run further through to a place called Cromwell. And I think it only got to Cromwell in 1921 from the top of my head, but it didn't have a big run. I think in the 90s they constructed a thing called the Clyde Dam, and I think that really sort of ruined rail. But a group of people here saved the section. I think it was the Otago Excursion Train Trust saved a section to North Tyree, where the Kiwi Rail line ends and our line starts. To Middlemarch. So the line is still in place to Middlemarch.
Do you still run excursions up there? I always I'd love to do the full one. We just went to Pukerangi, hopefully I'm saying that correctly.
Yep. So that is our terminus at the moment, is Pukerangi. But the line is still in place, but we aren't currently running there at this stage, but never know what the future can hold. We took a bit of COVID, obviously, put a dampener on things, and we lost a lot of the workforce and the expertise and stuff. So we're in a stage of slowly rebuilding, you know, and I think it's quite of a good, it's almost like quite a cool redemption story to be a part of in a weird way. You know, we got beaten down by COVID, but now a lot of the people were so dedicated. A lot of the staff are so dedicated that they came back despite the hit from COVID. And now we're rebuilding and getting the brand back out there. And, you know, I think a lot of tourism operators around New Zealand went through the same thing. So it's pretty cool to be sitting here now this is my job still, even with that hit we took.
Can't imagine, and it's probably unfair for me to say it because everything I do revolves around trains. So but I can't imagine Dunedin without the railways. You have the station that's in the center of town. I guess it's not really the center of town, geographically speaking, but that is such a landmark in and of itself, and absolutely worth checking out for anyone who's in town. But to me, the town and the railway are, I would say, synonymous. Do you think that's a fair way to characterize it?
For sure. And I think what the hibernation period really showed was that people really loved the train. There was so much support. Like my family would always mention it. How's the train doing? How's the partner's family? Like, there's just so many people that were invested in it. And, you know, everyone seemed to have a memory of it as a kid.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Stay tuned for more. For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to visit railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.